Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray. I'm a financial coach working with individuals and families nationwide, taking them from where they are to where they need to be financially. I use biblical principles to teach budgeting, getting out of debt, and saving for the future. And I do it all with a mom's touch, not telling you what you want to hear, but telling you what you need to hear. Welcome. My guest this hour is my husband, Devon Gray.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good.
Good, good. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little feedback. I'm not sure what is going on. I keep hearing things. Well, let me start off by saying that for my guest this hour is my husband, Devon Gray. And I just want to read a little bit of Devon's bio. Devon is the founder of Generation Lead, an organization focused on training and inspiring tomorrow's leaders today through leadership principles for everyday life. With over 15 years of experience in leadership-related organizations and positions, Devon has committed his life to learning, growing, sharing, and teaching in the area of leadership skills to youth and young adults. Devon's goal is to show how leadership principles can and must be applied to our everyday lives. Devon has also spoken at numerous events delivering an uplifting message focused on building up the confidence of young people and showing them how to set goals in life. Devon lives in Manassas, Virginia, with his wife, moi, of 16 years, and our two children, Ashley and Lauren. And you can contact Devon by email after the show at devongray@generationlead.org. or by phone at 571-236-6233. Well, Devon, thank you for coming on again. The last time you were here, we were talking about trusting God through unemployment, but this time we're talking about a really, really, really great topic, and it's talking about how to get your spouse on board to reach common financial goals. And I think that's awesome topic for us to be talking about, especially as a couple, because we've been there and we've done that.
That's for sure. I mean, it's an important topic because, you know, you have to have both sides, you and your spouse, your wife or your husband, on board when you're doing really virtually anything, and definitely when it comes to finances.
Definitely, definitely. Now, one of the things that the scripture for this show, I don't want to forget that, because we always base everything that we do in the Word of God. And I actually have two scriptures. It's such an important topic. I have two. The first scripture is Genesis chapter 2, verse 23-24. And it says, "The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." And the second scripture is 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and verse 7. And it says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." And I think these scriptures are so awesome because I always teach in my workshops that when you have a husband and a wife, you have to work together on your finances. There's no way around it. And I get this question all the time. Well, my husband has a separate checking account than I do. We kind of have separate accounts, and then I pay my bills, he pays his bills. Is that, you know, okay for us to do it? I always tell people that you have to work together, because if you don't work together in something as basic as your finances, I have this fear they will roll over into other aspects of that couple's life. So I will tell people that they must work together. Do you agree, Delon?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, from years of experience just with you know, our marriage and just some of the things we've gone through and thinking about financially, a lot of things, you know, I always tell people that's one of the top two or three things that can really hurt your relationship. It can hurt your marriage because, you know, we consider our finances, if you will, a very intimate part of who we are. And so you have to work together because it's literally bringing those two sides together, the most intimate things. And it's really, you know, probably the second highest form of trust in a relationship, in a marriage especially.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like I said, when we came on the air, I'm bad about opening several windows on my my computer, and so my feedback, I had my studio screen open with Blog Talk Radio, but I also had it open in another window, and that's why I was hearing feedback from myself. And,
that's okay.
Oh my gosh! And then earlier, my husband and I don't think he will mind sharing this. We had an argument this morning, right before we're going to talk about how spouses are supposed to work together. This is a distraction from the enemy. He is trying to get us off our game, and it will not work. We were determined to talk about this topic, and just to let you know, we're human too, and we make mistakes. But we came together and we apologized to one another because we know this topic is so important. We just couldn't let a little argument stop us from talking about this.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. And I just for the record, I went on ahead and texted because I was in the wrong in the discussion. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you have to do, as a marriage especially, the two of you have to walk together. You become a communion. It becomes a union between two people. And so, you know, you have still two separate mindsets on things. And the whole thing is not getting the other person to think just like you, but it's more of coming to an understanding and then working together based on the fact that the man is the head of his household, but he has to consider everyone's not only opinion, but thought process in that household to make a final decision. It shouldn't be, this is my decision, that's just the way it is, but considering all the different aspects of a situation and then making decisions, and especially with finances, but everything in general.
And I'm glad that you texted me and you did apologize, and then I apologized back, you know, to you as well, because I did some things wrong as well. But I'm glad you took the lead in that area. as stubborn as I can be sometimes, but you took the lead, and it makes a difference. I just want to say to, maybe you can speak more than I can, to husbands, when the man takes the lead, it just, I don't know, it does something for a woman where a man can, you know, he takes that role of authority, and not, like you said, not that I'm less than you are or anything like that, because we're all children of God, but when a man has his position and a woman has her position and the man is the man in a relationship, it just makes, I think it just makes the relationship tick better or flow better.
It really does, and I always want to remind people, because sometimes people go to the scriptures, not for the positive reasons, but for other reasons, and they refer to the fact that the Bible calls the woman or the wife the weaker vessel. But I think we have to break and really understand what that's saying. A weaker vessel is not referring to the person's mental capacity. It's usually referring, and not usually, it is referring literally to the vessel, the body that you're in. And most men are made up of more muscle, if you think about it physically speaking, than a woman. So it's a physical feature. It's not a mental feature. It's not a capabilities feature. It's referring to the mental body. And so he's not saying, you know, the Bible's not saying that it's the woman is weaker and she can't figure things out, she can't do things. Because if you read Proverbs 31, that's far from the truth. The woman's practically doing everything in that proverb as it's described. So I think, you know, people can get a serious misunderstanding about that in the way that they conduct their business as a married couple when it comes to decision making. Because that's what this basically comes down to, is making decisions.
Yeah. definitely. Well, that's so funny because, well, we're going to take a quick break right now. I'm going to leave you the sounds of Lead Me by Saint Is Real, but that's interesting because we're supposed to be talking about money. But it just kind of rolled over into the role of the husband and the wife. But I think that it still fits into the spouses working together, because if you can't come together on the basic things, including your money, you won't be able, it's going to affect every other aspect of your life, definitely. So right now I'm going to have to take a quick break, and this is Lead Me by Sanctus Rio. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few. Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and we are talking about getting spouses on board to reach common financial goals. We kind of got off on a tangent last segment about the roles of husband and wives, but it actually fits into what we're talking about here today, because it's all about working together and coming together to reach those common financial goals and common goals in general overall. So, one of the things I want to ask you, Devon, is how would you describe a reluctant spouse?
Well, you know, I was actually thinking about, you know, it's funny you should mention that word reluctant. I mean, I looked that up one time in the dictionary a while ago. I was teaching about something with the word reluctance in it, and the word reluctance actually means a mental struggle, which is very interesting because oftentimes what you have is a mental struggle when somebody's reluctant to do something because in the back of their mind there's fear. It's fear to trust. It's fear of the results. It's fear of it may be fear of any number of things. And so, you know, when you have a reluctant spouse in a relationship, especially when you're talking about money, usually it's resulting in fear or a lack of trust. You know, we can sugarcoat it with a whole lot of different things, but that's usually what it ends up coming down to. And, you know, that's just a symptom of a much bigger illness, I should say. And basically when you're dealing with a reluctant spouse, especially with finances, you have to get to the root of that and find out where is the fear or where is the distrust at and resolve that. And then all the other things tend to take care of themselves.
I say that, too, because the money is usually a symptom. It's not the actual problem. It's something much deeper. Some trust issue has happened in the marriage, and they don't want to trust their spouse with anything, especially their money. They want to always keep it separate. So if you completely trust your spouse, then you wouldn't have an issue putting your money together like I always recommend to couples. But it is. It's always a deeper issue. When there's money problems or money issues in a marriage, it's always something much deeper.
Yeah, I mean, the way we spend, the way we do different things, you know, if you're a relationship, and I know I was kind of a little bit more, you know, loose with the change, if you will, at the beginning of our marriage. I mean, it's harder to trust somebody if you're not sure they're going to do what you think they're going to do.
Right.
It's one day it's A, the next day it's C, you never know.
That's true because, you know, you work hard for your money and you want to make sure that person who's handling it, because usually one person handles the money, the other person kind of, you know, they're involved and they kind of, you know, look at things, but it's usually the husband or the wife who does the budget and pays the bills and things like that. So it does take an extreme amount of trust on, you know, for your spouse, for you to trust them to handle the money and the relationship, definitely. Especially if you're just married and you always handle things on your own, and it's just hard to give that over to someone. But again, I tell people, even if one person is the person who handles the money, who does the budget, the other spouse still has a say. The other spouse should still be looking at the budget and looking at and making decisions because you're supposed to do this together as a couple, you know, the husband should leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and they become one flesh. Not two separate bank accounts, one flesh. Now, one thing I want to ask you is, what do you think is a common mistake that husbands make who want to get their wives on board financially? The husband says, I want to get out of debt. I want to start, you know, looking at our money. I want to start saving for the future. What is the mistake that they make trying to get their wives on board?
Well, you know, I think that one of the things about, you know, from a man's perspective in a marriage is you want to, when you make that decision to do something, it's kind of a hard charger. You're like, okay, this is what I want to do, and I want to do it right now. I want to get this done. This needs to get done. This, and this. And a lot of times, you know, I always say there's usually in a relationship, there's usually one of the two persons, hopefully is one of two, that's a deliberate thinker. And a lot of times if the man is going for like that full steam ahead, the woman is usually the deliberate thinker in that relationship, and she's, you know, okay, what's your plan? What are you going to be doing?
Right.
What do you think? And it needs to be more than just an emotional decision. And that's whether it's a man or a woman, but specifically with a man, it can't just be the decision. It's got to be the follow-up to the decision. What is the plan, and how do you plan to go about it? Now, from that perspective, hopefully the wife will come and say to her husband, you know, I'm on board with this now, and I believe in you, and I trust you, and I think you'll do the right thing. That does a lot for any husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually that's the thing that the husband has to overcome is that, yeah, I'm the hard charging, but do you have a plan? Do you know what you really want to accomplish by doing whatever it is you say you do? And once you get that, usually, you know, your wife will look at and see that you're not just talking. This is something you're really serious in doing, and we'll get behind you.
That's true, because you may have gone to a workshop, the husband may have gone to a workshop or a seminar, and they get all excited, and they come home and tell the wife, and they're gung-ho and all that stuff, and she's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, you're telling her to switch everything that you guys have done up to this point and do something completely different. For a woman, like you said, she has to see the end. She has to see, okay, we're making the sacrifice, we're doing these things, but what's the end result? What's the goal?
Yeah, I always kind of, you know, with things like finances or even just, you know, setting goals and doing different things in your life, we want to be like a speedboat. We want to make a quick turn and just everything just be real quick, when the reality is it's more like an aircraft carrier. It's a slow
right.
but methodic turn over a period of time that begins to see and get the results. But nevertheless, the turn has to be made. But it's not going to be an overnight thing. And sometimes when people get all excited like that, they expect things to just change overnight. And it's a slow, habitual process. It has to be a habit that forms that says, we're going to do this over time. And you can expect there's going to be a test. Something's going to come up that's going to test whether or not you're actually going to do what you say you're going to do.
There's always a test, no matter what. When you get on the path of doing something right, especially when you're doing things in line with God, there's a test, because we're going to see, okay, are you serious? Are you really serious? Are you, you know, you say it with your mouth, but do you believe it in your heart? Are you going to show that you are committed with your actions? And it's funny you should say the quote or the thing you said about the aircraft carrier, because I always tell people, reaching your financial destiny is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You're not going to get there overnight. You didn't get here overnight, and you're not going to reach your financial destiny overnight either. So you have to be patient, but you have to be diligent and know that even when you hit bumps in the road, it's okay. You may trip, dust yourself off, get back up, and keep moving. Because if you don't stop moving and you don't quit, you'll eventually reach that goal.
Absolutely. I mean, it's you know, success in life is always about what you do, what you're committed to doing. And if you think about all the things in life, for the better or for the worse, that you're committed to, those are the things you will always see results at. That there's no, I mean, it's almost, it well, not almost, it is a law of nature. If you plant something in the ground and it rains and the environment is the way it should be, it's going to grow. It's just absolutely going to grow. And so then after that, what you do to it will cause it to grow and be fruitful and multiply. But one thing is for sure is whatever you commit, whatever you are committed to, it's going to grow. It's just the way that nature is and the way God's made it to be, that whatever you do committed, it's going to absolutely happen. And so that's why we have to be, you know, very habitual about how we do our finances. And especially like if you're a man who's not doing the right thing and then all of a sudden you decide you want to do the right thing with their finances, understand that you may it's a long-term process. You even may make mistakes at it, and don't get on yourself or don't give up. You got to get back on. If you fall off, get back on and keep going, and eventually you will see results. There's no doubt about that.
Now, one of the things that I think that, say, if the woman is the one who's excited about, you know, their financial future, and she comes in all excited, and she talks to her husband, you know, we got to do this and do this, it's kind of the same thing. You know, he's like, whoa, you know, we've been doing this for so long this way, and it'll be a little bit of a resistance. But that spouse or husband has to see that there's a goal. There's a reason that we're sacrificing. We're not just doing it for just sacrificing sake. There is a goal. And then even with the sacrifice, to put little things in there where you, when you reach a goal, that you reward yourself. And if that person who's reluctant, you know, if they see that it's not just all sacrifice and that they can still do things, they can still have some fun, then they're probably more willing to come on board. And as far as a woman, that's why I want to put that scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, where it talks about wives in the same way, submit yourself to your own husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, and this is the key, if they don't if they're on board with what you're doing, the woman should win her husband over. It says they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. So a lot of times we as wives, we want to just talk and talk and talk and talk, and we want to just kind of drill our husband, you know, you got to do this, you got to do this. But the scripture says sometimes as a wife, your husband will be won over without words. and he will be won over by your behavior. I remember when, and I talk about this before, when I first joined my church, Grace Church in Dumfries, Virginia, I've been a member of Grace for about a year before my husband joined Grace. And I didn't badger him. I didn't say, you know, you need to go to church. You need to do this. You need to do that. I just took me and my daughter. We went to church every week. And eventually he saw what was going on, and he was on board. So sometimes there's a time for talking, but then there's a time for doing and leading by example. If your husband's not on board, sometimes you maybe need to take a step back and say less and show him more.
Yeah, and just one thing I would say to that, and you know, this is, you know, both, again, this is not just probably for husbands, it's probably for wives as well, but me, myself personally, I'm a results-oriented person. If I see results, I'm usually, you don't usually have to say anything else. I'm on board with it. And so when you see results or you see the change, you know, again, this is something that you have to be committed to. You can't let, because your spouse is saying, well, that's something I'm not on board with. You know, usually you just have to show them. Number one, I've always understood this, and I tried to do this the best I can, is that you never try to deal with the person if that's the person you have. If you're having a problem with somebody, you don't just go and deal directly with them. You go to God first. Get instructions on what he knows about that individual, and then utilize that information God will give you through prayer and through the studying of the scriptures and understanding of the scriptures, and then use that to begin to alter the way you deal with that person. You never can deal with a person that you're having a problem. That's why, you know, I always tell people in the Catholic Church, you go to confession. You go to a priest, and the reason you're doing it, because that's a person of higher authority. You cannot solve, as Bishop Greer says at Grace, that you can't solve a problem at the same level with the same person it was caused by. And so you can't just go and deal with a person that that's not in line with you about a specific thing. You got to go to God first, get an understanding, and then get the love of God, not just the law of God, to go and badger people with the word, but to get the love of God and then start to see that love is what's going to eventually change that person and get them on board.
So sometimes a kind tongue, the way we approach people, makes a huge difference. And, you know, I'm a work in progress, Yvonne, so, you know, I'm still working on that. But I think I've gotten better.
You got a lot of better. We both have. We've both gotten better. And for wives that are out there, that is just so key, is that, and for husbands too, like I said, you know, badgering the other person just sends them further away. Nobody likes to be criticized all the time.
Well, right now we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Stephen Curtis Chapman. This is his new song called Long Way Home. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
My father started leading me home. He said there's gonna be some mountains to climb and some valleys we're gonna go through. But I had no way of knowing just how hard this journey could be, 'cause the valleys are deeper and the mountains are steeper than I ever would have dreamed. But I know we're gonna make it. Sometimes it feels like we're going the wrong way.
Back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and we are talking about how to get reluctant spouses on board with you so you guys can reach common financial goals. And my special guest this hour is none other than my husband of 16 years, Devon Gray. And we talked about at the top of the hour, I had so many things going on today with us. We had an argument, we made up, and like this is, and how many of you know when you have an argument with your spouse, the last thing you want to talk about is working with your spouse on the radio.
Wow.
But we worked through it, and we apologized to one another, so that's, we're here today. And even at the top of the hour, I kept hearing feedback, and I was thrown off, and but that is not going to work. That is the trick of the enemy. We are going to talk about this very, very important topic. Now, before we go into talking about getting reluctant spouses on board to reach your common financial goals, every show I always have a giveaway. And for this hour, for the listeners, we are giving away, or I should say Devon is giving away, because he is a leadership speaker, but he's going to give away a Visionaries Investing in Purpose goal-setting plan. He calls it the VIP goal-setting plan. And to enter to win, you simply email the word VIP to DavonGray@GenerationLead.org. That's DavonGray at GenerationLead.org. The deadline for entering is Thursday, May 3rd at midnight, and a winner will be chosen at random and will be notified by email. And as always, I always give away something on my Deals blog every Monday. It's called the Money Mom Monday Giveaway, and I'm giving away a Procter & Gamble sample pack, which includes Pantene Aqua Lip Shampoo Conditioner, Scope, and Crest Complete Toothpaste. And for this giveaway, you email the word PNG to SherryGray@TheMoneyMom.org. That's SHERRIGRAY at themoneymom.org by midnight tonight for a chance to win. All right, now we're going to get back to the topic at hand and talking about reluctant spouses, getting them on board to reach common financial goals. Devon, I want to ask you, what is the importance, in your opinion, of having common goals, particularly financial goals?
Well, you know, in anything, you have to look at your marriage as a team effort. And I like to not even call it a team, but a community. And it may be a community of just you and your spouse, or maybe you, your spouse, your kids. And one thing you want to do, and I know, you know, Cher, you've been very good at that, is getting, you know, the entire family on board with the idea of having control of our finances. I mean, our kids are very, very conscious of money, to say the least. And they like to count their money a lot, a lot. And, you know, but, you know, and that's a good thing because they're getting it at an early age. And remember, this is all habitual. So for me, right, goal setting is it's not so much of having this stringent set of rules that by which you go by. It's a guidepost. It's an opportunity. Yeah. And you really, it's really not so much about doing or performing, if you will, to get things done. It's about having a direction and knowing whether or not you're headed in that direction. So when you're a spouse and you're setting a goal for your finances, and you want to make sure that you're talking to your husband or wife and really kind of doing your part to sell it. And the best way you can sell it is by results. And, you know, you may do little things, and they may see the changes in you. Like, I know we haven't used credit cards in a gazillion years. And so seeing that you can live a life without always using your credit,
yeah,
when you see it and you experience it, it changes and makes you say, okay, I'm on board with this because I've seen it, I've experienced
right,
it. It does work. I didn't die because I didn't use my credit card last month. And you
right,
can start to see the results, and goals become easier. When you set goals that are saying, you know, let's go conquer the world, but you're barely able to walk down the street, it's almost not realistic. And so you want to set those goals to be realistic as well.
That's true. And especially to the spouse is on fire, you know, they're ready to get their finances in order. You know, when you speak to the reluctant spouse, just understand, even if you have, you know, they see the goal, they see the light at the end of the tunnel, the things are tangible, the goals are tangible, just understand that that spouse may not come around right away or as quickly as you would like them to, but still acknowledge the small victories. I tell men and women, when that spouse does something, even if it's something very, very small, and I think this is important, especially with wives, the husbands, acknowledge that they've done something good because it makes them want to do even more.
Yeah. I mean, that's momentum. And, you know, momentum starts very small and it builds. And, you know, you think about how you build a snowman. It starts with a very small snowball. And you roll that snowball until it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so what we have to realize about, you know, anything that we start in life, anything that we do, it's going to start small. God gave us everything in seed form. And there's a reason for that. And you know, he wants, number one, he gives us the opportunity to see, are you really committed to this thing? But then when it starts to produce, it starts to produce that 30, 60, and 100-fold because you sat there, you've been committed to it. And that 30, 60, 100-fold is not only just with your finances. It bleeds over, if you will, or spills over into your friends, your family, your children, because they see the results and they say, wow, how do I get on board with that? How can I do what you did and get the same result?
Yeah.
And that's kind of where that comes from.
And that's legacy. That's what I always tell people. That's financial legacy. Our money isn't just about us. It's about how we can help ourselves, our families, you know, of course, give to God first. But it's also how we use our money to impact the community around us so that people will look at us. People look at us as Christians, as believers, and want to do what we did. The saddest thing that I can think of is when there is a natural disaster, when there's something happening, when people, you know, are hungry. And we as believers should be the first one in line to be able to help people. But unfortunately, we are some of the brokest people around because we haven't taken the time to study God's word when it comes to our money, when it comes to our finances. And even when we do know the right thing to do, we don't do it. Because I always say sticking to your financial goals is not complicated, sometimes hard, but always worth it. It's difficult. Everybody can't do it because it is a sacrifice. Not to say that you can't still have fun and do things, but there is a level of sacrifice that everyone is not willing to make. And going back to what we're talking about, the importance of having common goals for couples, especially financial ones, I think one of the saddest things is when the husband or the wife has handled everything with the finances and their spouse has no idea, and that person who handled all the money dies, they pass away, and the remaining spouse has no idea where anything is. They don't know how to. They're lost. They're completely lost. And the spouse that passed away, I'm sure they may have thought that they were doing their husband or wife a great service, but in the end of the day, even if one spouse handles the majority of that, the other one has to know what's going on, because if something happens to that person, they're completely lost. And you want to know about the life insurance. You want to know about the will, about the living trust. You want to know what's going to happen to the money or to you if your spouse dies, and what's going to happen to your spouse if you die. You guys have to begin to work together, because the last thing you want to do is to leave your spouse here and they are completely lost financially. It's too much to go through. They're already going to be grieving, and you do not want them to have to go through the financial part of that when it's completely and utterly preventable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even when we, you know, did the things we did to set ourselves up with our will and different other things, we were both there together. We both heard the information.
Yes.
We both made the decisions that we made together. Came home, talked about the decisions, talked about the different things. And, you know, as far as knowing the other things of the spouse, it's about communication. And sometimes that, you know, especially if you're having trouble, and again, it goes, it's not, the money is just, you know, where your money situations are is a symptom of a bigger thing, whether it's an illness or a cure, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
The communications has to take place. And that just becomes a part of a normal lifestyle of communicating.
Definitely. And I also have seen where a husband and wife who have been married, they get divorced, the husband and wife remarried, but they still have their first spouse on their insurance policy. And they just, and it wasn't because it was intentional or anything like that. It's because they really just never thought about it. When you set things up like that, life insurance, will you just, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. So you, it's so important, again, for spouses to work together and to know what's going on in one another's finances, because you definitely don't want to be surprised in the area.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I look at, you know, you brought up the D word there. You know,
yeah.
I look at most people in the society we live in right now, the divorce rate's still over, I believe it's over 50%. It's around the 55, 60% percentile range. And when you have that kind of a high percentage of divorce, that automatically, with many different marriages, creates that automatic distrust. I mean, even people get married with the idea of having a prenuptial agreement. I mean, it's basically gotten to the point where we get married thinking about not staying together. And because of that, there is that distrust when it comes to the financial side, because when a divorce happens, that's the first thing you've got to start divvying up, property, land, things like that, almost even before the children. And so when you got a situation like that, that's a systematic thing throughout the nation, really throughout the world, but specifically in this nation. What you end up having is a solid amount of distrust, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and definitely, especially when people, I thought about this, when people get remarried, she has children, he has children, and what happens to everything when one of them passed away? Does it go to her kids? It could be a complete mess. So you definitely, whether it's your first marriage, second marriage, whatever, you definitely want to spell out, you know, as far as your will and things like that, how you want your minor children, who you want to take care of your minor children, how you want your finances to be administered, and also medical directive. I always recommend that too, and to tell your family how you want your medical care to go in case you're in a situation where you're physically incapacitated and you can't speak for yourself. Your trust, your power of attorney, your living will speak for you. So right now we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Hold Me. This is by Jamie Grace. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
I love the way you hold me. I love the way you hold me. Special in some way. I love you more than the
and put my feet on the ground. Forever in my heart, always on my mind. It's crazy how I think about you all of the time. And just when I think I'm about to figure you out, you make me wanna sing and shout. I love the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be and take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me in your arms. I'll always be and take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even loving you less. Lord, I love the way you hold me. I could tell you in a short story or poem, but all I have is my voice and this guitar, and you have my heart.
Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and this is a special edition of the Money Mom Show. I have with me my husband, Devon Gray, and we've been talking about how to get reluctant spouses on board so that you and your spouse can come together and reach common financial goals. And we've been talking about everything, how spouses can need to work together and the importance of it. One of the things I want to ask you, Devon, is, and we kind of touched on this before as well, but what advice would you give to husbands wanting to get their wives on board financially?
Well, the first thing I would say is be patient. Be very, very patient. And you know, and number one, you know, realize that, you know, and this is hard for all of us at different points, is when you receive your epiphany on something, not everybody usually gets the epiphany at the same time. The vision is given to the visionary. And the job of the visionary then becomes to find the best way to win the other person over. Influence, if you think about it, that word fluence, you think of the word fluency, speaking the same, you're very good at speaking what you speak. And that's, you're looking to get influence with the other person. You're looking to get them to talk the same language you do and to get them to think the same, not so much, I mean, in a monolithic way, but get to understand what you're thinking and why. And I think that's really the most important thing, is that, you know, you come and you say, I want to do this and this and this and this with my with our finances, and you have to realize that, number one, it's not yours, it's ours, so it's a plural there. And but also, when you're doing things, you know, you got to explain why you want to do this. Why is this important?
Yes, yes. That's what's
and
true,
then having that visual
no.
goal in mind is good, too. Sorry about that.
No problem. No, like you're saying, that's so important. Why do you want to do it? It's like, yeah, we want to do it, but what's the end result? What are we trying to achieve? I know for, you know, my advice, going back to what we talked about before, my advice for a wife who is trying to win over a reluctant husband, trying to get them on board with the finances, kind of a combination of what you said and what I said, have said, you have to have tangible goals. You have to also show that there's not only sacrifice, but there's reward, because the person, if all they see is what they're not getting, they're never going to be on board. And you also have to acknowledge your reluctant spouse's small victories, realizing that it's going to take the time for that spouse to come around And if they just, instead of buying lunch every day, maybe they took their lunch in to work one day a week, you know, to begin with. Acknowledge it. Say, oh, thank you so much. You know, I really appreciate you doing that. You know, I really, you know, helping us reach the financial goals, you know, one lunch at a time, whatever, however you want to put it. And for a wife to a husband, if you just acknowledge them and show them that you're proud of them and you show them that, you know, that even if it's small in your eyes, that they've done something that that you think is great, it's going to make them want to do more of that. And also, understand that there are times when you have to step back and understand that you're going to win your husband over, not with words all the time, but by your behavior, by what you do, not by always what you say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you win a battle. You win a war one battle at a time. And oftentimes, you know, that first battle may just be, like you said, the lunch. That may be the first battle. It could be other things. But, you know, whatever it is, you know, get the battle, win the battle, celebrate for a moment, let everybody start to see the momentum that's building and say, wow, you know, even that's with goal setting, whatever you're trying to do in life, you know, when you set a goal, understand, you know, if I say I'm here in Washington, D.C., and I want to drive to Miami, Florida, there's some cities in between. And so you got to go one city at a time. You can't just, unless you're flying, go from there to Miami. And even that, you still got to fly over some other places. So there are other destinations that are in the middle of getting to your final destination.
Definitely. And I want to remind people about the giveaway, too. Mr. Devon is a leadership speaker. His passion is speaking to youth and young adults and showing them how to figure out what their purpose is. So he's going to give away, it's called Visionaries Investing in Purpose, VIP for short, Goal Setting Plan. And to enter the win, email the word VIP to Devon Gray at GenerationLead.org. That's D-A-V-O-N-G-R-A-Y at GenerationLead.org. And that ends Thursday, May 3rd at midnight. And the winner will be chosen at random and will be notified by email. Okay? And if you want to enter my giveaway, I'm giving away a Procter & Gamble sample pack, including shampoo, conditioner, soap, and Crest toothpaste, and you can email the word TNG to Sherry Gray at themoneymom.org. And if you want more information about either one of us, you can go to my website at themoneymom.org or go to my husband's website at generationlead.org. Well, this has been an awesome hour, Devon. Thank you. I'm so glad we made up.
Absolutely.
I was so mad. You were so mad.
But, you know, at the end of the day with everything in life, it's, you know, you have your moment. And like I always tell people, talk to God first and then let God tell you what to do and then address the person. You can save yourself a lot of heartache, problems, and nights on the couch.
Well, it opened my heart when you apologize first. I mean, it just made me, like, it melts. I mean, it melts a woman when a man does something like that, so. I'm telling you guys, you know, sometimes when you take the lead, it melts the woman's heart and she kind of falls, you know, and it just, like you said, it works out when that happens. So, absolutely. Well, right now I'm going to leave you with the sounds of When God Made You. I love this song. It's almost like a wedding song. But when I hear it, I think of my Devon.
Oh, boy. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Wow.
Again, I'm online every week or over the phone with the Money Mom Show every Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Next week's show, we're going to have educational expert Jerica Pickett, who will talk about different aspects of college, including admissions, scholarships, financial aid, and much more. And remember, you can listen to my live show every Tuesday again from 7 to 8 p.m. at blogtalkradio.com/themoneymom or by calling 347-996-3266. And if you missed the live shows, you can listen to my past shows at themoneymom.org under the Archive tab. this has been an awesome, awesome hour, and I hope, I pray that you guys have gotten something out of it. I know me and Devon have gotten a lot out of it. But right now,
amen.
I'm going to leave you with the sounds of When God Made You by a new song. This is Cherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you next time.
Two hearts can come together and love can last forever. But now that I have found you, I believe that a miracle has come when God sends a perfect one. Now gone are all my questions about why, and I've never been so sure of anything in my life. Oh, I wonder what God was thinking when He created you. I wonder if He knew everything I would be, because He made all my dreams come true. When God made you, He must have been thinking.